Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Kaya Biz on Kaya 959. My name is Nzinga Kunta, standing in for award-winning broadcaster Ms. Gugule Tumfupi, who will be back with you soon. For the next hour, you and I are going to be speaking all things money-related. I'm now joined by Johan Goos. He's the head of PPS Wealth. Thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. If you're wealthy in South Africa, does it mean you're wealthy anywhere? And what does it mean in a South African context?
Well, thank you very much for having me on your program. I think that's a great question to start with, because, wealth is something that I think a lot of people only think about in terms of financial terms, right? But if we really think about wealth in its broadest terms, everybody's got a different definition of, what wealth means for them. Mm. And I think generally it would be, having some kind of, just having a positive experience in terms of your health, your finances, your relationships. So it could be any of those kinds of things. But I think in the South African context, you have to think about, the fact that we are living in a country where there's a lot of people that is really struggling financially. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe wealth in the South African context wouldn't necessarily be just having just about the best of everything that there is out there. Maybe, wealth in our South African context will start with something basic as just being able to know that today and tomorrow there will be food on your table, to know that you will have security, right? And then eventually, as you go further up what we call this chain of needs and wants and aspirations that we have, then you start getting into more of the kind of things that, maybe the people that are financially better off can actually afford. But I really think that in the South African context, we really have to start by saying, well, is it possible for you to just have some kind of security, a sense of psychological safety when it comes to your finances? And that, for me, in the South African context, would be a definition of having wealth.
Mm. And as you're trying to build that wealth, however you may see it, but also we do want to talk about money, what's the most important thing to try and remember as you try and build, keep, or grow it?
Yeah, I think the first thing for me is that it's where you start. And you've got to have a plan. If you've got a financial plan, you will be able to kind of like get a sense of where you are as an individual with your finances or as a household. You will know where you need to focus your attention to actually start growing your wealth. And it will give you some sense of control. And again, back to what I was mentioning earlier on, the psychological safety. And once you've got that, that will allow you to focus also on having prosperity in the other areas mm-hmm. of your life, so that you're not constantly living this life of survival and fear when it comes to your finances. And I think, the other things is what people must just be aware of is the fact that you will never really be able to get through life in terms of your financial plans and the things you need to think about by following a do-it-yourself approach. The world of finances are pretty complex. And the chances are very good that you will need a financial advisor, and you must be willing to pay for good advice. Because a financial advisor will be there to guide you, to coach you in terms of what are the things that you should be thinking about when it comes to your finances. How should you be thinking about those kind of things? And that advisor will hold you accountable. If you decided that there's a specific goal that you need to achieve, that is the role for me of financial advisors, to say, well, how do I help you there to get there? But also, you need to kind of like take responsibility of that. And I think the last thing, as you try and grow your wealth and protect your wealth, because I think that's very important, it's not just about growing your wealth, it's also how do you protect it. I think there's a few pitfalls that you need to try and avoid. I think the first thing is you need to understand and make an effort to understand yourself and money a bit better. You must understand where your financial behavior comes from And sometimes there's certain behavior that's not appropriate for us to build wealth, and we need to go and work on that and understand where it's coming from. I also don't think that you can abdicate. I said you must make use of a financial advisor, but you can never really abdicate your responsibility when it comes to your finances by paying an advisor and say, well, you know, it's now up to you. You ultimately are responsible for your money. And then, yeah, just be aware of the scams out there. You know, we know the saying that if something is too good to be true, it most probably is. So if somebody's promising you wonderful guaranteed returns or returns that's much higher than what the market can give you, be aware. And then just basically, you know, do not compare yourself with others. Peer pressure is something that you put on yourself. Don't try and spend money on things that will make you look like you're successful, or that will make you feel like you're fitting in. In the long run, it's just not worth it.
Johan, I'm so glad you brought that up, because after we speak to you, we're going to be speaking to a psychologist about this very thing, this anxiety about status. And sometimes, and I think in the most non-judgmental way, a lot of us fall into that trap or have fallen into that trap, and how to think about getting out of it and building wealth. Now, I know you said, you need a financial advisor and you need someone to tell us. Can you give us a mini masterclass on what are some obvious and not so obvious things that can derail one when you're on that journey for wealth or building wealth?
Yes, I think, I would start with the fact that you need some kind of a dashboard. And when I talk about a dashboard, it is something that will help you to know where you are in terms of your personal finances, where there's some challenges, where's your priorities. Now, this dashboard is really something as very basic as like starting to with a budget. Because what is a budget? A budget on the one side says, how much money am I getting in? On the other side of the budget, it says, how much money am I spending? And just by doing that exercise, but an honest exercise, to see what is your net flow position at the end of every month. That is a great place to start, because you cannot do any financial planning if you don't know what means you have available to actually implement a financial plan. So that would be the starting point for me as the one dashboard. The other part of as that you can use as a dashboard is what we'll call in the corporate world, they talk about the balance sheet, right? It's all the assets and your liabilities. Now, basically what it is on the one side of your balance sheet, it's all the things that you own. And on the other side, it's all the money that you owe. That's your debt. So what you need to try and do is you need to try and get into a situation where the stuff that you own, the assets, actually is more than the money that you that you've borrowed and that you owe other people or the banks. So I think those dashboards as a start already is something that will give you, again, some sense of control, some sense of direction. And then once you've got that in place, that is when you then look at your financial advisor and say, okay, this is my situation. Because if you can tell your financial advisor what your situation is, and just to say that is where any discussion with your financial advisor should start, is with your budget, is with your balance sheet and where your needs are. Because then you can put objectives in place, you can put targets in place according to certain time frames. And then you can work out your plan in terms of what you need to do to get to a certain point over what period of time. So that's really basic things that is very, very powerful over time. And once you've done that, you need to make sure that you cover each area of your life. It means on the one side, there's three elements when it comes to financial planning. You need to make sure that you've got all your risks covered. That means the fact that you might develop a disability, you might have been in an accident, critical illness, a loss of income. You need to cover that part of your life first. And then other things like obviously your assets, your home, your home contact, your content, your car, all those things. That's all from a risk perspective. The other element that's important is to save for retirement, to invest and save for retirement. There is a few things that we need to do. There, for example, you need to start saving as early as possible. you need to save as much as possible. Very important is that you take sufficient risk with your investments to grow your money by more than inflation. So I'm mentioning a lot of things in a very short space of time, but I don't think these are things that people have not heard about. And the last element of your financial plan, the third element, is your legacy plan. It's your will. It's your estate. You know, it's one thing to accumulate assets over your during your life. It's another thing to make sure that when you die, that those assets will be passed on to the beneficiaries or the next generation in a responsible manner. To die and not have a will in place and leave everybody behind when they're already in a situation where they're in emotional distress about you passing away, then you leave them with a very complicated estate, which could take years to wind up. That is not the kind of legacy that we want to leave behind, because that's all you will be remembered for. Yeah. So make sure, again, that you speak to your advisor, get a proper will in place, a legal will, an updated will, so that your wishes really can come to fruition.
When I know I heard you speaking about retirement and planning and long term, sometimes when you listen to advice about what to do with your finances, you can feel like, ah, I actually started too late. Let me leave it.
Yes, no, I don't know if it was mentioned, but I wrote a book that was published last year, Your Ultimate Personal Finance Guide. And I think that is the last bit that I actually left people with, readers with in the book, is to say that it's never too late to start doing something about your financial destination. You have two choices today. Doesn't matter if you're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. You can either decide it's too late and then you just see kind of like what happens going forward, or you can start taking control today. And I promise you, your outcome, if you start doing something about your personal finances, if you become more intentional around your personal finances, you will end up in a better place than if you did nothing.
Okay. And so if you are someone who, at whatever point in your wealth building journey, if you are conservative, or if you've got medium risk appetite, or you don't mind taking a bit of risk and you want to make sure that you're okay, how should you be thinking about money and building wealth?
I think you again touch on an extremely important point, and this is issue about risk. You know, people think that because it comes back to what I call the law of investing. The same way as that you have the law of movement, or you know, it's like Moore's law or Newton's laws, and those physics laws. You've got the law of money, and the law of money works like this. Once you have sat with your financial advisor and you've determined kind of like how much money you need to have at retirement, then you have to say, well, okay, how much money do I have to save or do I have available to save every month? And how much must that money grow to get me to that amount that I need at retirement? Now, what will be important to answer that question is, what is the return that you're going to get and how much risk should you take? Now, a lot of people think that the market's moving up and down on a daily basis and the value of the investment's fluctuating, that is risk. That is absolutely not risk. In the long run, the market does what it does best, and that is to grow wealth. So the key thing is that you shouldn't be worried about your money's value in the short term going up and down. What you should be worrying about is that you take sufficient risk so that your money will grow faster than inflation. And inflation is basically the rate at which the cost of the goods and services that we consume go up every year. So if inflation goes up 6% every year, you know, our food and fuel and all of that, then you should at least get a return on your investments of more than 6%. Otherwise, in real terms, you're actually going nowhere. So you need to take sufficient risk, and you need to allow sufficient time for your money to grow. And this is why it's important that not only should you start as early as possible and save as much as possible, you should also not try and time the investment market every time there's something that's announced around, for example, trade tariffs, when something happens in the Middle East, and then you pull your money out of the market. That is not the way to do it. And the other thing is, you should never touch your retirement savings until the day that you retire. because then basically you are breaking that rule of investments and you're not allowing your money to work as hard and as long as possible for you.
Sure. So many rules. Someone tweeted us saying our show is competing with so many things vying for attention. And it made me think of so many ways of competing ways of building wealth. Earlier on, you spoke to us about the different ways. Now there's people who say, you don't need this old school, like investing in long term. Get some crypto, get one of these meme coins. You make a lot of money. There's a lot of scammers out there as well. So how does your personality type and your appetite for risk guide you? And how do you make sure that whatever your risk appetite is, as you've described to us, you stay safe and you do grow wealth?
Again, you know, you're touching on something that I've spent quite a bit of time in the book on, and that's your money personality. And that's why I said right in the beginning, you've got to start and you've got to understand your own personal financial behavior, because personal finances is exactly that. It is very, very personal. And the same way that we have personalities that people describe us by in terms of how we interact with society out there, you know, our preferences, that we have in terms of, you know, are we extroverts, introverts, all of that. The same way you also have what I can call a money personality. And that money personality basically, again, comes from really understanding what does money mean to you? Because if you can understand and honestly answer yourself that question, is money security for me? Is it status for me? Then you will get a better understanding about what is subconsciously driving your money behaviors sometimes. So you have to kind of like understand your own money personality. And once you understand that, the chances are very good that you will make better money decisions, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that's very important is that, you know, you should never really be comparing yourself with others in terms of your financial journey. We are all, again, on very unique journeys. And I think it comes back to what you said, you asked right in the beginning about what does wealth mean in South African context? Mm. You know, and my daughter one day asked me the same question. He said, Dad, you know, what does money or wealth mean to you? And I basically said, well, I think it is basically the cumulative satisfaction and gratitude that you experience from all the things that matters to you most in life. Now, if you look at that definition of wealth, what I'm saying to you is that being wealthy is not just about having a lot of money. You can actually determine for yourself how wealthy you are in terms of deciding if your health or your relationships or your job or your purpose in life is really your true wealth. Because in the end, what I say is true wealth, if somebody takes it away from you, it should not change who you are. It should not change your purpose in life. And if you give some of those things away in your life, you should never feel poorer. And you should actually be happy that you could share that with some other people.
Johan Goos, head of PPS Wealth and author of Your Ultimate Personal Finance Guide. Thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. That really did feel like a mini masterclass in how to think about money, how to grow wealth, how to keep it. And really, I think the most important lesson for me is that it's never too late. Get some help, focus, and you'll get to where you need to go. Thank you very much for your time.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.